And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It's wall-to-wall musical theater today. In part one of today's program, we're going to be talking about the latest musical theater production to open at Carthage College, a musical called Nine. In part two of today's program, we're going to be hearing from Rachel Swartz from the theater department at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. They open this weekend as well in Peter and the Starcatcher, a retelling of the familiar story of Peter Pan. So we have a lot of fun things to talk about today. The musical Nine by Maury Yeston is a very, very intriguing show, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to talk about it today, first of all, with a faculty colleague of mine from Carthage College, Neil Sharnick, who is the stage director of this production, and we have two members of the cast with us as well. Emily Hoffman, who is a junior music theater major at Carthage, and she is portraying the role of Luisa, the wife of Guido Contini, and he is portrayed by our other morning show guest today, Chase Juster, who is a sophomore musical theater major at Carthage. We welcome all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I know it is a busy, busy week with opening night just right around the corner. Neil, how would you characterize how things feel at this point several days before you open?
Things feel great. It's been, it's always a long process. It feels like it's been a bit of a grind by the time you get to this point. But what's great and what really energizes you is as you move through tech and dress rehearsals and you keep seeing more and more of the elements added, as the lights are finished, the costumes are on, as everything becomes more and more what you'd envisioned and in so many ways better than you'd envisioned, it can really be exciting and can energize you and keep the adrenaline going.
Cool. Tell us how this ended up on the schedule and whose decision is that ultimately, and how did you come to choose this, whoever chose it, to be the main stage musical this spring?
We kicked around a lot of titles, and the decision really came down to Matthew Hoagland and I, Matthew being the musical director, and this had been on a list of mine, but at the time it was coming up, I wasn't sure. I don't think I totally got the show yet. You know, and initially there's a lot about it that that I admire and have come to love and admire, but maybe didn't see on a first read. But Matthew kept it in front of me and said, "Take another look." And I think he was absolutely right. I mean, this show, I knew it had been celebrated. It won the Tony in 82 when it premiered. It won Best Revival in 2003 when it was back on Broadway. There's a successful film of it. So it's had a lot of success. And I don't think I was looking deeply enough into it initially, but the themes and ideas, ultimately, once I wrapped my head around it, I just found really intriguing and really exciting. It's also a great show for showcasing specifically and especially how many really talented female music theater performers we have on campus right now. Obviously, Guido is essential, and Chase makes this show possible. But we also have just so many other talented performers. And this musical is really about Guido and all of the women in his life. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of great roles for our talented actresses.
And we should mention the fact that there are a whole lot of shows that are tilted exactly the other direction,
right?
Where there is a preponderance of roles intended for male performers, and that can get to be really frustrating after a while when you have, you know, a wider pool of talent from which to draw and students you want to serve.
Right. Yeah. And that really is the first of all criteria when looking for a show. It has to be a show that we can do successfully and that provides the opportunities for our students that they need as part of their education.
So tell us a little bit about the origins of Maury Yeston's musical, which is based on a film that at least film buffs are probably fairly well acquainted with, not the general public.
Federico Fellini's film 8½ from 1963, Academy Award-winning film for Best Foreign Language Film, and one of the films considered one of his masterpieces. And what's what's fascinating about it, I mean, one thing that is fascinating about it is a film by a celebrated Italian filmmaker about a celebrated Italian filmmaker. So one draws a lot of conclusions about that, right? That he's revealing a great deal about himself, about his own mind, his own process. And it's a play that puts us into the protagonist's mind a great deal. Guido Contini is at a moment of crisis, having a bit of a breakdown, or at least a midlife crisis, and things are falling apart for him. The play actually takes place in a spa that is a sort of a retreat for him in the film, where he's sort of trying to get his life back together, and there are lots of forces making that difficult. The setup is a little different in the musical, but it's still that basic premise, right? We have a celebrated filmmaker who's as he says, everything he touches. What's the line? Go ahead, Chase. Everything he does
gets world attention, whether it's a hit or a miss.
Right. He's very much in the spotlight, and he has had three flops in a row at the point when the musical takes place. So he is desperate for an idea.
Hmm. One of the things that I recall from seeing the show, I did see it in Milwaukee quite a few years ago and really, really loved it. It seemed like it was one of those shows in which the line between what's literally, tangibly, actually happening versus what's going on in people's minds and so on is a little bit blurry. Am I remembering that correctly? And what kind of challenges does that pose to you as the director and your cast?
Oh, I don't think that's challenging. Maybe the cast does, but I just think that's exciting when we can enter into the mind of the protagonist, and we don't have to worry about things being literally real, right? Guido, whether it is in fact he is hallucinating or we're just having privileged access into what he's thinking about, so that we see on stage people who aren't there, we see his thoughts manifest pretty regularly. That for me, that's just fun. That's what theater is. And that was certainly an attraction for the show for me.
Very good. Tell us a little bit, and I'm certainly going to want to hear from our two cast members as well, but your impressions of Maury Yeston, a name that might not be familiar to too many people. I know him best for his version of the story of Phantom of the Opera,
Phantom,
which I really, really love.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't remember what else he's responsible for, but...
Well, his other big Tony winner was Titanic.
That's
Maury Yeston as well, Grand Hotel. So there are several shows that people are likely to know or at least have heard of Yeston. I think the music is gorgeous. In fact, there are a few moments. I actually turned to Matthew and Kim, our costumer, during yesterday's performance in one song, The Bells of St. Sebastian, and said, this music is better than it has any right to be. Mm. Like, there are moments that are just absolutely elevated by really beautiful, beautiful music that even sometimes in moments that seem otherwise a little bit trivial in the show, and that is not one of them, that it's not a trivial moment, but the music consistently elevates what we're seeing on stage. And it's a Maury Yeston musical. Arthur Kopit is the playwright whose plays, Wings and Indians, several of his plays, are staples of the American theater canon as well. So it's a collaboration between one of our really great composers and a really great playwright, basing their work on Italy's great filmmaker. So the pieces almost couldn't miss. You have so many celebrated voices and so many great talents putting this thing together.
Right. It sounds like they collaborated very well. We're going to dig into your character specifically, but I'm really curious to hear from our two students, Emily Hoffman as Louisa and Chase Juster as Guido, your impressions of the score that you get to sing, this score by Maury Yeston. What's it like? Chase, right into the mic. Let's start with you.
Okay. I have many impressions. I will say this is some of the hardest music I've ever worked on, ever. But it's just so cool. To go back to St. Sebastian, what Neil was just talking about, there's this part where the vocals are just so phenomenal that they cut the underscore and they just wanted to hear the women singing and they're all just behind me and it sounds fantastic. Ah, and yeah. it's one of my favorite moments because I just have to bask in the sound of them. It's just so cool. But the music, the amount of range that Guido has in his music, in the opera that he writes, or his solo song, which is all over the place. It's been quite a learning experience.
Wow. Well, we're glad you have found a challenge in this in this role, musically and I'm sure otherwise. Emily, what are your impressions of Maury Yeston's score?
I think it's so smart. Like Chase said, there's such a wide range of music. And like at first when you look at it, like Neil said before, like even some of the seemingly most simple songs are actually super complex and really difficult. So the music is gorgeous and has definitely pushed me as well as a performer. It's been really great.
Great. For those of you just joining us, we're talking in this first part of today's morning show about the musical Nine, which opens this Friday.
Correct.
at Carthage College on the Wartburg Auditorium stage, I assume.
Correct.
This is not a show for the studio theater, I shouldn't think. And it runs for this weekend and then one weekend more.
So it's just this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. There's a matinee. That's our one matinee opportunity. And then the next weekend, just Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30.
Very good. So this is, as we were saying earlier, is a musical based on the classic Fellini film, 8 and a Half. And it tells the story of one heck of a midlife crisis suffered by a celebrated filmmaker by the name of Guido Contini. And he is encountering either in actuality or in his own head or a bit of both some of the women who have been a part of his life and who have been an inspiration to him in one way or another. Chase, tell us more about this character of Guido Contini and some of the challenges and pleasures that have come with portraying him.
Right. Well, I would say midlife crisis is an understatement. Guido's going through it this whole show. A lot of it is also represented in the music. Maury Yeston loves his octaves to display him having a moment. It frequently happens. But it's been a real challenge, especially because Guido is much older than I am, and I have not experienced the things that he has. But something I think that is really cool that we've done here is there is a younger version of Guido in the show, but I will also join in with little Guido as a 9-year-old boy. And so it's like to experience of him like reliving his youth and saying things like that. Which has been a really cool experience as well, and just to show like where Guido's at mentally, because that's what the show's about, where he is mentally. At 9 years old, that's where he's stopped.
Wow.
And so it really just shows like how he progresses through the story. It's really, really cool.
Wow. So in that flashback portion, do we have an actual little boy on the stage?
Yes.
We do, and
he's
fantastic.
Yeah. I
he's
love
so
him.
He's so good.
Who is this?
His name is Dominic. And he is the son of one of your music colleagues.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Super. So you are actually right there with him as he is performing this crucial moment from the show.
Yeah, and then he comes back and sings a song to me sometime in the show about growing up. Mm-hmm. And he just has these big doe eyes telling me to grow up. And I'm like, okay, I will. so cool.
Yeah, I know the eyes you're talking about very well. I can understand what you're saying. So this point of very serious crisis for Guido Contini is in part a crisis in terms of his own marriage. And you, of course, are married to Luisa, who is played by Emily. We'll hear from Emily in a second, but let's get your take on your relationship with this particular woman in the cast and what it's like to portray that. Again, something that I'm pretty certain you haven't yet experienced in your own life.
Yeah, I actually talked to Neil and Matthew about this, about how it wasn't yet being portrayed that we were married or in love on stage, because Emily is a close friend of mine, and so we were playing it as close friend.
Ah.
and so we've slowly built it in to be like, make it resemble more of a marriage, and that character-wise, it's a really interesting story, the way he treats Louisa. There's three main women and three counterparts to those main women in his life, whereas Louisa resembles his mother. So he sees her as like a matronly figure, I would say. And so to find like wife but also mom in the same person has been quite a challenge.
Wow.
It's really interesting to see his dynamic with all these women and how he relates them to each other. Like Sarah Gina, the woman he met when he was nine, which like shaped his journey, he sees in Carla, his mistress. It's very cool.
Yeah, the lines that are drawn between.
And it's also been a struggle to connect each one because they're all also very different characters, but not to Guido.
Yeah, right. Oh, interesting. And Emily, so then you have the challenge of portraying Louisa, who is, in a sense, two beings in one as far as her husband is concerned. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about her and you portraying her.
She's really complicated. This has definitely been a challenge for me, but also I've really enjoyed it. This is a very different role from anything I've ever played before. I think that Louisa is, you know, Chase said there's these three main women, and they're all very different, very unique. But Louisa is very much the outlier out of any of the rest of the women in the cast. You know, we've talked a lot about what does that relationship look like and why is it so different? How is it different? They've been married for over 20 years. So, you know, how do we portray that with not having that life experience? But, you know, why did it last so long? Because Guido, we see throughout the show that he is someone who jumps around between women and between relationships. He's attracted to all women. So why is Louisa different? So it's been really fun to explore the special connection that they have, because their connection is more of one of companionship, I think, and that like they have that comfort in knowing each other very well, which also makes it, you know, all the more devastating when it becomes perilous. Not to have any spoilers.
Right.
So yeah, it's been and really difficult. And Louisa is also one of the only women who is almost constantly there, live and in person. You know, Louisa isn't one of the figures in his head most of the time. So navigating that balance has also been really interesting.
Right. I bet very gratifying opportunity for you as a stage actor, for sure. Speaking of challenges, Neil Charnick, we were talking before we went on the air about the fact that the action of this takes place in Italy, and we have someone who's from Paris and someone who's from America, and So the whole matter of dialect is woven into what makes this show challenging and fun.
Yeah, from day one, from our first read, Professor Martin McClendon was brought in to collaborate as part of the team to be our dialect coach and to train the ensemble broadly and work closely with individuals as well on refining their Italian accents. But as you said, right, we have one principal character who's from Paris. And not only is there dialect work, but there is language work. Several of these characters speak Italian or speak in French. And so it moves, it goes beyond just understanding how we shift the vowels and consonants around a little bit to create the right dialect, but actually speaking the language and speaking it with some fluency.
Right, trying to make it sound authentic and convincing.
Right.
Whoa. What does the production look like, at least in general?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So we are setting it in the 60s as it was originally intended. So first of all, we have that in terms of the costumes and whatnot. But because we're sort of in a theater of the mind or a memory space most of the time, there isn't a lot of need to call in a lot of specific scenic units. It's where, as we shift from place to place, that's generally done with only the most minimal shift in maybe some projections in the back, but then there's very little in terms of furniture or used in the in the set, because it needs to move very fluidly, not only from place to place, mostly within this spa in Venice, but some other locations as well, but also in and out of reality and in and out of Guido's mind. So to be too literal in your scenic design for each location we're at is impracticable and just probably not smart design, right? You want to be able to allow your audience to enter into whatever space they're being told they're in,
right?
Very fluidly. So.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like that's a very, very good choice that has been made. Is this something that is really only for mature audiences, if you know what I mean?
Well, I would say yes and no. The themes and ideas of it are definitely adult, right? This is dealing with a womanizer, frankly, right? Somebody who has a lot of relationships that he's balancing poorly is a key element. So while there's certainly nothing gratuitous in a lot of strong language, it is intended for mature audience, for adult audiences.
This is not The Sound of Music.
This is not The Sound of Music. No, it certainly isn't.
But it is a really, really wonderfully crafted show. As I said, I saw it some years ago because actually a friend was in the cast, and then a Carthage alum was also in the cast, and I was really, really blown away. So I am excited at the prospect of seeing this production of Nine that opens this weekend at Carthage. In our closing minutes, I want to hear a little bit from both of our students about their own background in musical theater, and especially kind of the gateway experience that led them into this. Emily, you're from Peshtigo, and is music and music theater, are those things, elements that have been a really important part of your life for a long, long time?
Yeah. I started doing children's theater in second grade. Mm-hmm. My high school didn't have much of a theater program, so we had a really great children's theater, though. So I did children's theater all through high school, and then, you know, decided to give it a go in college. And so I'm studying music theater and directing currently, and have enjoyed spending my summers teaching theater as well.
Fantastic. Where are you doing that? Back home?
The past two summers, I taught at a summer camp called Double H Ranch in Lake Luzerne, New York. Mm-hmm. I did their creative arts programming. And then this summer, I'll be teaching some music theater in Wisconsin and also virtually. So a mix.
Very good. And what drew you to Carthage?
A number of things. I have a lot of different areas of interest. So at Carthage, I could pursue multiple things. Some schools won't let you do more than one. If
right.
you're focusing on a BFA track, you know, in music theater, that's all you do. Hmm. And I wanted to study Spanish, and I wanted to study directing. And then the faculty, you know, I'm not just saying that because there's faculty in the room.
Yeah, we're pretty great. We're pretty great.
But they're pretty great.
If he does say so himself.
Very good.
Well, we're sure glad that you're at Carthage and that you're part of this cast of the Musical Nine. Chase Juster, I know you were a track star in high school, but was music also right in there, right from the start? And what kind of balancing act were you trying to accomplish?
Music, yes. I played oboe for 10 years.
Oh.
I didn't start singing until right before college.
Wow.
Nine will be my fourth musical I've done, so it's still very new to me. But taking on Guido has made me learn many things. It's the biggest thing I've ever done in music theater. But since starting to sing my vocal journey, I've grown so much, and I'm so glad it's the path I've picked. And Carthage is definitely the place I'm so happy I ended up being at. To pursue that, it's really helped me a great amount.
Cool. And I imagine that background in track is maybe one reason why you're so good on your feet on stage, right? I mean, you're quite the dancer.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I will say it has contributed to my sickled feet, and my dance teachers resent that fact very much. But
you make it go.
Yes, I make it
go. By the way, is there dancing in this show to any significant extent?
There is. There are a few really big dance numbers with some exciting choreography, both in a lot of it is in imagination moments. There's a moment where we are transported back to the Folies Bergères. Our Parisian character loves and remembers very fondly the Folies Bergères. So there's a big number in that vein. There's a dance number on the beach in Guido's memory. And when we actually get around to the film that Guido makes, there's a lot of dance within that. So yes, there's dance throughout.
Very good. So lots to look forward to. So remind our listeners about exactly where and exactly when these performances of the musical Nine are taking place at Carthage College.
Sure. They're coming up very soon this weekend. We open on Friday and have performances Friday and Saturday at 7:30, then a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. The following weekend, May 2nd through the 4th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so people aren't confused. If they want to come Sunday, it has to be this weekend. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the second weekend, all at 7:30.
And what do people do if they want to purchase tickets?
That is a great question. They can visit our website, go to the Carthage College, carthage.edu/theater, and click on the link to our current season and get to tickets that way. They can stop in our box office, which is in the right through the main glass bank of doors at the David Strauss Center on the north end of campus. There are right now tickets available for all performances. So if it's a last minute decision, don't let that stop you. Come on out, buy your tickets at the door, and we hope to see you there.
Come to see the musical Nine at Carthage College. Neil Sharnick is the director of this production, which stars, among others, Emily Hoffman and Chase Juster. Great to have all three of you here today on The Morning Show. Best wishes to you, to the rest of the cast, to the crew, to everybody involved with this production of Nine.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.